Blog Talk Radio.
Psalm 82, a Psalm of Asaph.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Kennard Levy Brown speaking. I'm your host for the Merciful Service of God Biblical Instructional Program on Blog Talk Radio. We've been on the air for many years on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm glad that I'm getting back to doing this. I'm really, really, really am glad that I'm doing this because it's going to help reach people that I may not be able to reach through YouTube and other areas. And so the title of this Bible study today is Are Signs in the Sky Important Prophetic Events? Now, the latest eclipse is going to happen April 8th, and people are talking about it's going to go across the United States and all that. And they're saying that, hey, this is a sign of this and sign of that. But let me quote a scripture here that you may not be aware of, Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. And I'm quoting this from the New American Standard Bible Version, Matthew 16, verses 1 to 4. It says, the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and testing Jesus, they asked him to show him a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? And he states, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. And we know that sign, for those who want to believe the Bible literally, means 3 days and three nights he would be dead, and then he would resurrect. And people, unfortunately, are celebrating the fact that he was resurrected on Sunday, and he wasn't. That's another Bible study in itself. But anyway, I want to get to this overemphasis on signs and the fact that Yeshua or Jesus is saying here that we shouldn't really be so focused on that, on the signs in the sky. We should be really focused more on the signs of the times, or the signs of people not acting like they should. So let's go over that. The issue is, why should we focus so much on the signs in the skies when we have other issues that are more important? Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible has prophesied that there's going to be a great sign that's going to occur, and that's in Revelation chapter 6, and this is way after the tribulation. By the way, Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal right here. This is a sign that we better be watching, okay? Let me read this to you. It says in Revelation 6, verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island was moved out of their places. So imagine that. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman hid themselves into the dens, and in the rocks and the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And so that is the sign that we better be looking at, ladies and gentlemen, not the eclipse. It's not going to cause an earthquake. It's not going to cause all these things that the Bible is revealing. And so, sure, it's significant. It's something that we need to take a look at, but let's not overdo it here. We need to look at more of the sins of this country right now, all right? And that's what God wants us to look at. We need to look at the signs of the times, which matches up with Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 26, states the following, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. This is talking about his second coming. So they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Let me explain what that means. That means that the father should give his daughter to a suitable man, or help his daughter choose a suitable man for her to marry. All right. And so they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And he says, likewise, so similarly, also as it was in the days of Lot. So the days of Lot were similar to the days of Noah. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sowed, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And he says, verse 30 of Luke 17, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And so that's very interesting that he states that. This is in the context of the tribulation, because this is tribulation language. The same similar phraseology is found in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 31 of Luke 17. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, and in Jerusalem, they do have housetops. Let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And then he says, remember Lot's wife. And so what were the sins of Sodom? Because we certainly have these sins in an end time context today. Well, the sins of Sodom is in Ezekiel. Let's take a look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, it says here, behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, we have a lot, abundance of idleness, abundance of laziness was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, were haughty and committed abomination, of course that includes sexual abomination, therefore I took them away. So these are the sins that are prevalent here in this country and around the world, but certainly in the Western nations, they're very prevalent. We have great pride. You hear of American pride? American pride. Fullness of bread. We have plenty. The poor person in the United States is a rich person compared to somebody in Haiti. We have an abundance of laziness. Yes, push button here. AI this, AI that. A lot of people in this country are overweight. We have issues with taking care of the poor in this country. If you don't believe me, look at feedingamerica.org and get the facts. Feedingamerica.org. And then, of course, pride. And then we commit all kinds of abominations. We are accepting the abomination right now of gayness, that it's okay for two people of the same sex to get married and act like that's a family. You know, how can you obey the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, if you have two mothers and two fathers? It doesn't make any sense. So that's where we're at right now. Those are the things that we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at our social behavior. The reason why God eliminated that world, Noah's world, is because of the social behavior. Let's take a look at Genesis. Genesis, and Jesus told us to look at Noah's days to understand how these end times will be. And so in Genesis 6, verse 1, and it came to pass. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. These are not angels. These are wicked human beings, okay, wicked men. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, or people that were not the average size. And after that, when the sons of God came, and these are not angels, but these are human beings, because Christ said in Matthew chapter 22 that angels cannot have sex. All right, so this cannot be angels. The Son of God came into the daughters of men, and they, and let me find that scripture for those who doubt what I just said. In Matthew chapter 22, he states the following. Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. Matthew 22, verse 30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage. And when you marry, you have sex, right? But are as the angels of God in heaven. Okay, so he's telling you that angels don't have sex. So they don't procreate. And he's saying that when we are resurrected, we're going to be like the angels. He's talking about those that's going to be in the first fruit resurrection. And, of course, after that, those who repent, receive God's spirit, and prove to God that they want to live his way of life, they will also be changed, and they will be like the angels. So Luke chapter, Mark chapter 12. All right. Here's another version of the scripture about us being like the angels. Mark 12, verse 24. Actually, verse 25, Mark 12, verse 25, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Okay, and I think there's another version of this scripture here. Let me take a look here. And Luke 20, I think. Luke 20, verse 34, and Jesus answered and said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given into marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, so you have to be worthy to obtain that world, the kingdom of God, and a resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore. For they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So he said we're going to be equal to the angels, meaning that we're not going to be able to procreate or create human beings as angels, and we're going to have the privileges of the angels. We're going to be equal to the angels. All right. So based on that, the sons of God cannot be angels having sex with human beings. So let's go back to Genesis. And God saw in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented, or it made him sorry that the Lord had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And then that's when he decided to destroy man. He's not going to do that this time because of the rainbow. He promised not to, but he's going to destroy much of the earth with fire. That's what the Bible says. That's another Bible study. And so we know we're living in a time now where it's dominated by all kinds of abominations, the sins of Sodom. I just revealed those to you. And we are in a time now when artificial intelligence is dominant right now, and it's influencing people in the wrong way. Some good things about it, but there's also some bad things about it. It seems to almost promote laziness, that people say, oh, I can just have the AI do this for me and that, do that for me. And he states here, we're living in this time. Michael hasn't stood up yet, but he's close to standing up. Daniel 12, verse 1, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust, that they're not awake right now, they're asleep, they don't have a clue what's going on, of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But here's the key verse I want to get to. I just want to read the context. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to, you might as well put the 21st century. The time of the end is the 21st century. Many shall run to and fro. This can be interpreted two ways, rapid transportation society. Also people searching Google, searching AI, searching for the truth of God. People that are attracted to this ministry, you search the search engines and you find out. Somebody will call me while I'm doing the program here. But anyway, and knowledge shall be increased. And excuse that. I'm sorry about that. So at the time of the end, which is the 21st century, many shall run to and fro searching for things on Google. searching for AI to get information, and then knowledge share increase. That's certainly, I used to preach and continue to preach, that is referring to the internet, but more so the internet is referring to artificial intelligence, because with artificial intelligence, knowledge certainly has increased. Well, you can type anything in that super brain through ChatGPT or Perplexity AI or Gemini, and it will give you information quickly. So we are certainly living in that time now, ladies and gentlemen. And so God has stated that he's looking at our behavior. He's looking, those are the signs we need to be focusing on. How is humanity acting as a whole? Well, we're not acting so well. We certainly aren't acting well. And then even his own people, Jews and Christians, those who are spirit-filled and those who aren't. He says this about our people. Isaiah chapter 30. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. And so this is a prophecy of God's people, Jews and Christians. That's the simplest way I can explain it. They're certainly God's people. Those are the people of the book. And so Isaiah 30 verse 9 says, he tells Isaiah in verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 30, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in the book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, and it's certainly talking about now, that this is a rebellious people. So this is a character trait of God's people. We're rebellious, and we lie a lot. We don't want to tell the truth, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children, and not only that, they don't want to hear someone preach the word of God correctly. They don't want to hear. They want to hear what they want to hear, that they will not shema, which means in Hebrew, they hear intelligently the law of the Lord, which say to the seers or prophets, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us smooth things or the right things, speak unto us smooth things or false things or things that's entertaining. And then they delude themselves into thinking that correct preaching, prophesying, deceits. That's what happens when you don't resist the devil. Verse 11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, right here. Let me go back, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 11. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. And so you are effectively driving God away from you when you have this kind of attitude, when you want to rebel. And I'm not talking about the occasional lying or rebellion. I'm talking about the consistent. That's what God is talking about here. Well, you don't want to repent. Well, you don't even recognize. Well, you don't even care. That's how you drive God away from you. And that's how you will say the following. You'll say, let the Holy One cease from me. So you are doing the opposite of what James chapter 4 tells you to do. You're supposed to resist the devil. But when you resist God, then God's going to not want to be around you. Verse 12, wherefore thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise, see, when you do that, you're despising the word of God. When you don't have great joy toward keeping any of his commandments, then you despise his word and trust in oppression. But you trust in oppression, or you oppress people, or you lie on them and say things about them that's not true, and you're perverted, and that's being perverted when you do that. And stay there. Therefore, this iniquity, this sin that you're committing shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall. And I try to warn people that act like this, what's going to happen? I don't want it to happen. That's why I try to warn you. Therefore, this, and if you have this kind of attitude, you rebel and lie on a consistent basis and don't want to listen to God's words, then he states that this sin, or those sins, shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking coming suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, but there shall not be found in the bursting of his shirt to take the fire from the hearth. So that's what's going to happen if we want to be rebellious and if we lie. God is not going, and you despise his words, don't want to be corrected, then God states that he's going to allow something bad to happen to you. Okay? And so I hope you listen. I hope you, for those who are having problems obeying God, to repent. Because God tells you in Proverbs 12, verse 1, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he that hates reproof is brutish. That Hebrew word for brutish means stupid. So you don't want to be stupid. It's ba'ar. It means to be stupid. You don't want to be ba'ar. You don't want to be stupid. And God calls you stupid, and he'll call me stupid if we don't accept correction. And so yield to God, and he'll come to you. And then in Proverbs chapter 1, here's the formula here to make sure that you can understand the scriptures. It says right here in Proverbs 1, verse 22, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? God calls you a fool if you hate knowledge. Turn, this Hebrew word for turn means shuv. Shuv you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So understanding the Bible has something to do with your obedience toward him. If you don't want to obey him, then you won't receive God's spirit to understand the Bible. And so Acts chapter 5, verse 32 says the following. It says right here, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God giveth to them that obey him. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you have to obey God if you want to continue to have his spirit. If you don't obey God, then God can take away that Holy Spirit from you, as he did with King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, because he was being rebellious and wanted to do what God told him to do, this is what happened. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And so you can quench the Holy Spirit of God. There's some people going around saying that's impossible. They don't know what they're talking about. The Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, quench not the Spirit. Quench means to extinguish. So you can extinguish the Spirit of God in you if you continue not to obey him. You will do what our ancestors did in the wilderness. In Acts 7, verse 51, it states here, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. So you're being stiff-necked and don't want to obey, you're resisting the Holy Spirit. It says, as your fathers did, so do you. And then in James chapter 4, he says, yield yourself to God, resist the devil. He doesn't say resist God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But if you don't resist the devil, and instead you're resisting God's ways, then the devil's not going to flee from you. He'll be always there to deceive you and to destroy you. And you don't want that. And the people of God from time to time do need signs. They do need wonders. And Christ understands that. He stated this in John. Let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 48. Then said Yeshua unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So God knows that. That's why he's going to have that great sign of the sun getting black and the moon turning red and so forth. He's going to have various other signs that he talked about in Matthew chapter 24 so we can understand the signs of the times. So that's important. But the signs of the times is more important than looking up in the sky and say, oh, God is warning us, and then you don't do anything. You know, you don't do anything to change. You don't do anything to be a better person. And then the first, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is something that the Jews, traditionally, they focus too much on signs. And 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22 states the following. It says, for the Jews require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. So, like again, it's not something that should be totally discounted, but it's not something that you should totally focus on like that's the most important thing, ladies and gentlemen. Because you can get so into the devil that, let me show you in Luke chapter 16. This is a parable of the rich man. I don't have time to go over that right now. But he states here, the person that's near the lake of fire here, that's getting ready to be tossed in the lake of fire. Luke 16, verse 29, he's getting ready to be destroyed. He said, Luke 16, verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them that they also come into this place of torment, which was the valley of Gehenna. That's where the lake of fire is going to be at. Verse 29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And in verse 31 of Luke 16, and he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So even the miracle of a resurrection, if you hate the word of God and don't want to obey the words of God, all of them, from Genesis to Revelation, then you won't even be impressed by somebody being resurrected. So case in point, when Moses, you know, was in the wilderness with the, God's people, they weren't impressed by God causing the Red Sea to part for them to cross over the Red Sea, obviously, because they sinned, they kept on sinning, and they kept on getting on God's nerves, all right? And that's unfortunate, but you can read that in the book of Numbers. So, ladies and gentlemen, the signs in the skies are important, but it's not as important as understanding the signs of the times, ladies and gentlemen. And the signs of the times are bad right now. Our social behavior is terrible, and we need to collectively as a human race repent. If we do, this is Jeremiah. This is what the prophet Jeremiah states here. Jeremiah 18, verse 7. He states plainly here, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up and to destroy it. If that nation, and this is Jeremiah 18, verse 8, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, repent, I will change my mind of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we must do individually and collectively to prevent the devastating prophecies that will occur on this earth. So I hope you understand the difference between looking at the skies and understanding the signs of the times, understanding the social behavior that's going to cause God to come back to save us from ourselves. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully this recorded this time because it didn't record before. And may Yah bless and keep you, and Yah willing, I'll be available next week at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Shalom. Peace.
Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts.
Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.